Will you pray with me? God of grace, may these words and our hearts join with your living word and presence with us here today and beyond today. Amen. When we were growing up in the small town of Medina, New York, my mother got this idea that she might expand our horizons by introducing new food at mealtime. So every once a week or so, something new and different would appear at the table. Tacos might show up, or curry, or some other food that we had never seen before. But the meal that we will never forget is the one where she served octopus. Canned octopus. She had it on a little platter and she passed it around the table. My sister Holly absolutely refused to touch it. So the meal proceeded. But at some point, Holly got distracted and someone slipped a little bit of octopus on her plate. And when she turned back and saw that pink, oily bit of tentacle sitting there, she lurched back in horror, lost her balance, and fell off the chair. And there may have been some screaming involved. It didn't turn out as my mother had hoped, but my mom understood that what happens at the table goes beyond the table. She thought that a little taste of octopus might make us curious about the wider world. Braver. She was wrong about that part, but she believed that a meal could offer what Richard Rohr calls a grace that might move us toward greater maturity, inclusivity, and wisdom. Thousands of years before the octopus incident, a worn-out, exhausted Elijah bumped into some table grace of his own. For him, it was a little bread baked on hot rocks and a pitcher of water that did, in fact, make him braver. It gave him the courage and the strength that he didn't think he had to get up and go on. Elijah's story has a lot of exciting chapters in it, but this is not one of them. Fire, brimstone, miracles, and massacres happen before we get to this part. And thunder and earthquake and conversation with God and confrontation with kings happen after. Here, all we have is a discouraged prophet, wearing out, falling asleep, and an angel who keeps waking him up with bread and water. There are a couple of things we might notice about this bland story. One is that Elijah has to stop before he meets this angel. Stacy preached about this a few weeks ago. The spiritual practice of stepping away from our over-busy, over-distracted lives to make room, to make time, to notice God, who is always there, ready to be noticed. Elijah doesn't slow down because he wants to. Failure, fear, doubt, burnout push him off that prophet treadmill he's on, but he does stop, and it is then that he can meet an angel. You'd think, though, that it would be more than bread and water for the mighty Elijah. I mean, he is a big deal prophet. Shouldn't it be a chorus of angels? Or at least a feast? But God shows up small here. One angel. Bread baked on the rocks. A pitcher of water. And the language in the story tells us this isn't the first time. That Hebrew word for hot rocks can also be translated coals. And in the story of Isaiah, God puts a hot coal to the lips of Isaiah. I think this is metaphorical, but it's to purify and restore him when he balks at the call of God. And then that word for pitcher appears earlier in Elijah's story with the almost starved widow of Zarephath. She has a pitcher that somehow when Elijah comes and the presence of God is felt, fills up with oil and won't run out. So she's able to feed herself and her son and Elijah. God has a habit of helping failing prophets. And of course, this is not the last time that bread and drink will reveal the grace of God. There is Jesus coming, the bread of life. And Jesus is always expressing God's love around the table. Just like the Elijah story, it's not all that exciting when it happens. But this is where Jesus does nothing less than rearrange the whole social order by where and what and with whom he eats. He widens circles. He pulls down walls. He offends the system of dominance and power. He puts octopus on the plate at the table. It's no accident that the table is a central piece of furniture in the sanctuary. That the table is the central practice, coming to the table, central practice of worship, and not just in church. Jesus didn't ask his disciples to have a social ethic. He wanted us to be one, everywhere, all the time. Once as a young adult, I visited a church that practiced something called closed communion. Two words that I think should never go together. When the server with the bread and juice came to the aisle where I was sitting with my friends, he looked and could see that we were not members of the church, so he looked away and then went on down to the next pew. Surely, we are meant to embody the grace of the table where everyone is welcomed, is nourished, is blessed. Jesus was always pulling up another chair. A church in San Francisco makes the table the centerpiece of their life more than most. They are faced with a large food insecure population. And so they took out all the pews in the sanctuary. That alone is a huge undertaking. Try to move just one pew in a sanctuary and see what happens. But they took out every pew so that they could fill the sanctuary with tables and pile them high with groceries to feed their neighbors. Every Friday afternoon, they distribute 9 tons of fresh vegetables and bread and meat to 1,500 people. They have wandering musicians playing, and they give away fresh cut flowers with the groceries. They treat people with dignity and grace. And then on Sunday, they pull in the chairs and set them up and have a traditional worship service. Our table ministry at First Baptist includes Vesper meals and warming shelter and potlucks, shared suppers, lemonade on the lawn, a picnic coming up this fall. We take meals to the bereaved, the ill, new parents. We might also open our own tables in our homes to colleagues, to neighbors, to people who are different from us, people who will be receiving these backpacks, for example, someone new at church, someone not new at church, whom we don't know yet. These are all moments to make a place for God's grace. We also have fellowship hour following worship, and you get there by going out the door and down the stairs. It's a very simple offering of a few cubes of cheese on a platter and crackers and cookies. There's coffee. There are pitchers of water, very biblical. Last Sunday, Peter and I volunteered to host, and it's not hard. Instructions are clear. Experienced people will help you. You can sign up right on the table. I brought some chocolate chip cookies. A young mother came over. Her little boy beside her, he had a kind of a worried look on his face. She asked whether the cookies had peanuts in them, to which he was allergic. When I said no, no peanut has ever touched these cookies, a look of pure joy came over his face. That sight would be enough to restore any weary prophet. And then, after the meal, a first-time visitor and a second-time visitor stayed to help clean up. And I'm not sure, but out of the corner of my eye, I think I saw many other moments of kindness and hospitality happening in that room. This is table grace. This is the presence of God. Back to the octopus. My sister grew up to accomplish many acts of courage in her life, not involving octopus, but including raising three responsible, adventurous sons, now raising their own beautiful families. Let us set a table where God will meet us to restore and to bless and to challenge us, because God always does. There is grace.